So we have that interesting reading from John chapter 20. The interesting reading that reminds us even the early church didn't always fully agree. It's very interesting, isn't it, that you've got Thomas there not believing the rest of the disciples. Unless I see, I will not believe. That sense of lack of trust, lack of unity amongst even Jesus' closest disciples brings division. We see early on in the New Testament, in the early church, in Acts chapter 4, the reading that Colin brought to us, that they have everything in common. They've actually got their act together a bit, and they are recognizing and supporting one another. Jesus' prayer for his disciples in John's Gospel, he says, may they be one. Why? That the world may believe. May they be one. That the world may believe. Well, in my 30 plus years as a pastor, as I was thinking about tonight, I wondered how many hours I have spent with disputes and disagreements in church life. I'm not just talking about Romford now, but all churches. Churches love to argue. Churches love to fall out. And certainly, in my time as a minister, I have seen many a fallout. There is something about Nehemiah, the end of Nehemiah, that I envy. If you look at the last chapter of Nehemiah, you have that thing, and I'm paraphrasing, when Nehemiah's getting frustrated with all the people, then I pulled their hair out and kicked a few of them around, and then they agreed to follow the Lord. Well, that's not something that's available to Baptist pastors. Although sometimes, it's probably me, I'm sure Vicky and Jan will never feel this way, sometimes there's that frustration. Will they just listen to God? Listen to one another and just come down off their high pedestal, because they're missing out. Thomas, by not listening, by not believing, was missing out on something, the excitement. And it was a week he had before Jesus came again. A week of missing out on the excitement of what happened, because I am not going to believe unless I see it for myself. He missed out. He missed out. The old Frank Sinatra song comes to mind. I did it my way. And so often, we're so busy wanting to do church in our way, wanting to have faith in our style, that we miss out on what God is truly about. You see, when Jesus came in John chapter 21, the disciples were full of amazement. They saw and they believed because they were full of amazement. And very often we are so paranoid about getting it wrong that we miss out on the amazement of seeing what God is actually about. When Jesus came into that upper room and the disciples were there, why? Because they were fearful, they were frightened. And Jesus came and he said, peace be with you. The disciples saw and they were full of wonder. John chapter 20, verse 20, the disciples get 20/20 vision of what Jesus is about. Remember, this is the same disciples, Peter. Jesus, you can't do that. Telling Jesus what he should be doing or not. But Jesus calls and challenges. He challenges his church. In the same way as he challenges us to be one, he challenges us that there's going to be another story that's going to be played out. You'll be challenged in your faith walk. You'll be challenged in what you believe. And Jesus even goes on to challenge Thomas and others about, what about those who follow? What about those who don't see yet believe? And the final thought I had, well, I had many thoughts, but equally, I know that you don't like services to go on forever and ever, was a sense that sometimes following Jesus is going to be costly. There's that lovely vision of Psalm 133 that how good and pleasant it is when God's people live together in unity. However, it does not always happen. But in Acts chapter 4 it was. There was not a needy person around because everybody made sure that everybody else had what they needed. They sold land and laid it at disciples' feet. And we know that very soon after this part of Acts 4, you're going to get people trying to deceive one another, even in the church, and God's judgment coming in on Ananias and Sapphira. Even the early church, there was going to be those who came in to try and get something out, to try and look good, to try and be what they needed to be, or they wanted to be. But even in Acts chapter 5, when you got that story of Ananias and Sapphira coming and giving, but not giving, only giving part, but keeping for themselves, and God bringing judgment upon them, we see how humankind, even in God's church, brings disunity, brings pain, brings deceit. And we are called as God's church to hold on tightly to truth. It's costly. It's costly. It's not always easy to hold on to truth. Sometimes you will be maligned for speaking truth. Jesus himself knew what this was like when he spoke against the religious leaders and everybody turned on him, and eventually he was crucified. Why? Because he spoke truth. He spoke truth. As Jan prayed, we have a calling to hold on to truth and be a church that speaks truth to powers, speaks truth to principalities. And the truth we speak is that truth which is held in God's word. This does not change. God's word. God's word is not a pick and mix. Do you remember Woolworths? You go and get the pick and mix and you'll take, you know. I saw the other day a Lindt pick and mix where you get your favourite flavours of Lindt. Doesn't that sound amazing? However, there's only one Lindt for me, and that's the dark ones, because, oh, they are glorious.
but, you know, the Bible is, we've got to take the whole of it. The easy to follow bits and the hard to follow bits. The ones that are culturally acceptable and those which are culturally not acceptable within the world. But we must stand firm with them. And as a church, as God's church, we must also stay united around them. Stay united around truth as the scriptures outline. I remember one of my previous churches, I won't say which one, to protect the innocent. But I was there as pastor, and there was a small group came and they wanted to change the church and they wanted to do all these things because it would make those who are unchurched come in and feel accepted. Well, I love doing new things to bring new people in, but what they wanted to do is water down the truth of the scripture. And I was seen as Mr. Horrible. Fortunately, I had a lovely leadership team who supported me, and we had no division within the church at large. This group in the end decided they couldn't stay. They'll go and do this on their own. And so we blessed them and let them go. It came to nothing. It fizzled out. But the pain that a church feels when there is that kind of undercurrent, that kind of, let's water down truth, so that we can fit in. The Bible says, the truth shall set you free. And what did Jesus say about himself? I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father but by me. Any time we start to play around with these fundamental truths of the Bible, we're shortchanging the world. We're shortchanging the world. We're lying. We're lying if we say, yeah, okay, the Bible says that, but it doesn't really matter. You can just ignore that bit. We're lying. Jesus speaking to the early church in their ways, were holding on to truth. It's a fragile thing. It's a very fragile thing, truth. But we need to hold on. And Jesus' prayer in John 17, that the world, the church may be one, as the Lord, God the Father and the Son are one. Will you say, Father, let them be one as you and I are one, that the world may believe. I'm going to close in a moment, you'll be pleased to know, and we're going to come to a time of prayer and worship again. But it's interesting, there was a survey done about 18 months ago. It was a typical tabloid newspaper survey, based upon a piece of research. I think it was done by the Theos think tank. And they actually projected when each denomination in this country will die. Now I'm going to be very careful how I word this because it sounds very judgmental. So I will not use the denominations word name. But they worked out that one denomination was going to die in 2030, another one 2035, and they've gone through all the denominations based upon where they are going and when they will cease to be in existence. The Baptists, we were going to be dead in 2080. What struck me was that churches that were totally committed to the Word of God, those which had very high ways in, you couldn't just slot your way in and become, you know, they were the ones that are going to last the longest. It was all based upon the R number. Do you remember the R number from COVID? The reproduction, you remember them standing up each day on the telly. The R number is, and you either felt doom or not, depending how close it is to one. It was all based upon the R number. The churches that were going to last the longest in this research were the churches that took Scripture and God's Word the most serious. Those who didn't actually change to fit in with the day, but held firm to the teaching of Scripture. And friends, okay, it was a bit of research, but also underlines what Jesus said. Underlines what Jesus said. That we need to be faithful to God's teaching in all ways. As we pray now for the unity of God's church, we pray for our community. We pray for Christians in our civic authorities and our world. Let us pray. Father God, we first and foremost thank you that you have the power to transform all situations. And Lord, we do pray for peace, justice, truth in your church and in your world. And Lord, as we have just sung this song of vision, that there will be transformation, revival, and the healing of society, we pray this for Romford, for Havering, for this area, that Lord, there will be a transformation. Lord, in a year where we're going to see elections, less than a month away before the mayoral elections, and Lord, sometime in the next year, just under a national election, we pray for a rising up of people of integrity, of truth, people who speak well, people who are not so worried about being popular, but doing the right thing. Lord, we pray in this borough, we pray for this city, we pray for this country, a change in the temperature of political debate and government. One that will put the vulnerable in the centre, that will not use trickery to fool people. Will speak the language of love and care rather than anger and fear. Lord, we pray for Christians in politics, local and national. And Lord, we pray that you will, whatever party they are with, you will use them to be transforming powers within this nation. Lord, we pray they will have the boldness to speak out for what they believe. And Lord, we pray for a reversal in this land, that your laws will be the laws of this land. Lord, we pray for our local councillors, some of whom follow you and love you as their Lord and Saviour. We pray, Lord, that you will bless them and you will protect them. You will shield them. And Lord, for your church in this community, in this world, help us to be true salt and light, to flavour and to show light on truth. Lord, we thank you for the recent gun crime summit. And Lord, we pray for those who are demanding more. And for those of us who are tasked to meeting and taking that forward. Lord, help us to have wisdom to know which way we go. Lord God, we pray that we will be selfless in service, loving constantly. In everything we may have your authority to transform, revive, and heal society. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.